Adelaide, hello to you. This is the Dead Set Legends for your Saturday morning here until 12 o'clock today. Callum Ferguson, former skipper of the Redbacks, dominated Shield cricket for two decades. Hello, mate.
Tomo, great to be here. Look, again, it's been a huge week of sport. There's a big weekend of sport going on. We've got the LIV Golf that's on at the moment. We've also got the Australian women's team into another T20 World Cup final. Extraordinary stuff. And then we've also got the South Australian Scorpions playing a final at Bellerive today. There is plenty happening. Both AFL sides also playing over in the West. Mm. First hit-outs against proper opposition. Exciting stuff.
Yep, absolutely. The former skipper of the Brisbane Lions, two best and fairest to his name, and looking a bit sharper than this last Saturday, it must say. Tommy Rockliffe, hello, mate.
Oh, absolutely. Highlight of my week is coming in on a Saturday morning and seeing you two gentlemen down the line, and I'm sure it is for a lot of people in Adelaide to tune in to Dead Set Legends on a Saturday morning. And
where do you find yourself? Gold Coast or Brizzy?
Gold Coast this week, out there selling all week, trying to strike up some finance deals and door knocking here, there, everywhere. But I come in and I get to talk about a passion of mine, sport.
Yes.
And Adelaide. How good is it out there? You've had a beautiful weather all week. Unfortunately, it's turned, but apparently there's no one playing cricket anyway. Everyone's left the state for Harry Styles over in Melbourne.
Well, that's what Jars said last night. Everyone's taken across the border.
Did you see the unit strategy stuff last night on the socials?
Oh, my God.
And speaking of good-looking men, we've got one coming up later, Spencer Johnson. Hasn't he just burst onto the scene? And
what a rooster.
What, 6'5" and stunning looking.
Bowls fast, 150.
Love it, love it. We'll catch up with him just before 10 o'clock. Also, Daisy Thomas is going to join us after 10:30. Had a bit of an incident, and I just love this. This is real community battler stuff. He trounced on through. He had a real issue with his tooth and then jumped on there on TV. It was superb. We'll get that story out of Daisy and opening up the phones as well. It has been a stinker in the City of Churches this week. The worst job in the heat. What did you get up to this week? We really want to know just after 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that'll be a good topic. I was playing golf day the other day on Monday and I saw some blokes, it was 36, 37 degrees, standing on top of a tin roof, just ironing things out on top of there. Imagine that. Imagine the heat. It would have been 57 degrees up there. Unbelievable.
No. And Rocky, you're missing a show. Is it tonight because of the kids?
Yeah, the last couple of weeks have been crook, so unfortunately we missed my mum's 60th. Well, I didn't miss it. I was
you well and truly had a real go with my mail.
The rest of the family did, and then, my wife's mother's 50th, Shana, so Andrea turned 50 during the week, so happy birthday there. And it's a big, actually, week for birthdays for the Dead Set Legends. Mine was on Wednesday and yours was on Thursday, Tomo.
That's it, mate.
Happy birthday.
I had no idea that we were a day apart. That's brilliant. So what? You were 36 on Wednesday, Rock?
37. Nah, just the ripe old age of 33, Tomo. And 29, last year of 20s for you.
That's it. Don't bring it up. Righto. Coming up next, Pat Cummins is back in Australia, so we're going to get all the details out of Fergie. It's the Dead Set Legends. Triple M. Dead Set Legends. 14 minutes past 9 o'clock for your Saturday morning, Adelaide. Text line always open as well. 0488851047. Make sure you hit us up. Spencer Johnson joins us just before 10 o'clock. And what an absolute rooster. But right now, I've got to talk about Pat Cummins. He's back. He's hit the shores of Australia. And, well, it doesn't look like he's going to be playing the third test, obviously, there, Fergus.
No, it doesn't, Tomo. And it's really sad circumstances for the Australian skipper. His mum has now moved into palliative care. So things not looking great for her and her health at the moment. So totally understandable that Pat Cummins would come back to Australia. And I'll just read out his statement. I've decided against returning to India at this time as my mother is ill and in palliative care. I feel I am best being here with my family. I appreciate the overwhelming support I've received from Cricket Australia and my teammates. Thanks for your understanding. Now, I mean, that's a really tough circumstance for anyone. And you know, a lot of people out there would be able to relate with the skipper coming home, which, you know, our thoughts are with him and we hope that everything goes as well as possible. But it certainly leaves the Australian team, you know, they're in a vulnerable position at the moment. And it'll be interesting to see how they navigate that. We wonder whether Pat will even make it back for the fourth test now as well. So it's an interesting scenario we see the test team in.
Well, family first, so hats off to him. I mean, it's a lot of respect. And like you say, the well wishes go out to Pat and his and his family during this time. But Rocky, it seems to be, for one reason or another, just a tour to forget, if you know what I mean. And it wasn't that long ago that we were 60 runs in front and it could have been all completely different.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I just want to send out the well wishes to Pat and his family as well. Obviously, terrible circumstances to bring him home. And we wish his mum and family all the best moving forward. But yeah, the tour of India has just gone from bad to worse. We went over there full of hope, and we spoke to Justin Langer as well before they went, and he said this was going to be a testament to him how much the Australian team had improved. And unfortunately, they've failed on the biggest stage and the biggest test. We all know how hard it is to win over there in India. I think the last time we won there was 2004, when our skipper wasn't there as well. So Gilchrist led the team so well, but just disappointing. I think they got it wrong from the outset. It's easy to say now in hindsight, but I was critical of them not going over and playing a warm-up game. Then to pick a team on the basis of net form and leave out one of the best batsmen in the best form, sorry, over the last couple of years in Travis Head, which... Yep. We couldn't work out. He's come in and played well. His replacements didn't live up to the expectations. And then they've gone in with one seamer the next game, three spinners. Did they get that right? And they just got their mindset completely wrong, in my opinion, in that second test. They went out there aggressively, tried to take the game away. But as spoken about heavily this week, playing the cross-angled bats when the ball's staying low, you've got to play with a straight bat. And that's under 10 stuff that you learn that, in my opinion. I love cricket. Ferg would know a lot more about that than me. But you generally play with a straight bat if it's not bouncing. But where does it leave us? Because you look ahead as well in our test team. If we get wiped here and then we get wiped in England, which is a good possibility the way they're playing at the moment, we could lose 9 on the trot.
Yeah, the doomsdays are out up in Queensland. But look, certainly things haven't gone to plan. We know that. They didn't get it right at all in that second innings, even towards the back end of India's first innings. Things really didn't go well, considering we got ourselves into such a strong position. That tells me that we're a good enough team.
Yeah.
But we've got to make sure we're playing four quarters of footy, so to speak. So at the moment, no doubt the Australian team's licking its wounds, but I've got a lot of confidence in that group. I think there's a lot of ability, and they've got some weapons, and you need weapons when you go over to India. You just got to make sure you use them. I'm not sure we did in that last test. I was staggered Pat didn't bowl himself at any point. That was a really interesting one. Yeah. He's a weapon. He's the number one fast bowler in the world. Yeah. So, you know, there were some decisions like that that I questioned. Travis Head out of that first test. I mean, I'm still, my head's spinning on that one still. But I think there's certainly there's some positives there that I suggest they're going to be in the contest. They've just got to play smart, stay calm. They panicked in that last test. Yeah. It was actually plain to see. It's not to hear that the plan wasn't to sweep coming from the staff and from discussions in the game plan leading in tells me it was utter panic that was going on out there, and they were just desperate to score somehow. And we need to see level heads in India. Bluey talked a lot about it. You need to at some point defend over there and play with a straight bat when it's up and down. And that they're the basics of cricket. We learned that, as Rocky said, in the under 10s.
9 on the trot seems a bit heavy, Rock, doesn't it?
Come on, Rock,
we don't have a great record in England as it is, and they are on all cylinders at the moment. They're a different team to what we beat only 18 months ago or 12 months ago.
Come on, mate. We didn't lose that last Ashes series over there. Rock, we nearly won it.
Come on, mate. Nine on the trot. We're a bit stiff. Geez, down in the dumps of Brisbane. Now
we're an
umpire's
decision away from winning in Ashes.
My issue is with the management of the team at the moment. And this is where it comes from, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they've taken over a squad that they don't have faith in. They've taken Hazelwood over, who wasn't fit. They've sent him home. Ashton Agar, poor Ashton Agar.
Yeah, that is a disgrace.
Yep. They've flown him over, then spin bowlers have jumped in, then they've sent him home. Yep. And to his defence, he's played 3 red ball games in 3 years. Yep. He spoke so well when he came back. So I think if they fix it, Fergan, and I was being a bit doomsday to say they could lose 9 on trial. I don't think they're going to win in India. I think they're going to lose that series 4-0. And the way that England are playing that Baz ball at the moment, they're dangerous. So a possibility, unless they change that management and get on top of that and move forward, they could be in all sorts.
Yep, for sure. We're actually going to speak about David Warner after 11 o'clock as well, to see if he even goes to England. Some interesting comments from Bluey last night on the rush hour, which were very, very good. We'll replay that. We'll open up the phones. Is his career over as well? We'll do that after 11 o'clock. But shortly, Paul Connors is going to join us. This is a very, very exciting. Show Me the Money. It's back. Season 2. More next on the Dead Set Legends Triple M. 24 minutes past 9 o'clock for your Saturday morning, Adelaide. The Dead Cert legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo here until midday today. Spencer Johnson is going to join us before at 10 o'clock. But right now, looking forward to getting this man on. Paul Connors of Connors Sports Management manages the likes of Paddy Dangerfield, Ollie Wines and Christian Petracca. So he must be doing something right. Paul Connors, good morning to you.
Thanks for having us, boys. Yeah, really good to be on.
Now, mate, we're talking about Show Me the Money number 2. It's streaming right now only on Stan. We've seen the first season, mate, and absolutely loved it. What can we expect in the second?
The second, I actually just watched it last night for the first time and really enjoyed it myself. So if you're a footy fan, which we all are in Adelaide, you know, all the boys and girls in Adelaide love their footy, it just gives you a really good snapshot of behind the scenes. I think the first year wasn't a great trade period last year, and this year we get to see the last day of trade as well, which, you know, I think is up close personal and shows some really dramatic scenes. And there was the big mega trade at the end that got done with minutes to go, and there's a couple of other ones that's really good.
Now, Paul, Tom Rockliffe here. Something tells me you would have loved watching yourself last night on the big screen.
Oh no,
I don't think. When you look like I do, and the TV makes you 10 kilos heavier, it's not the greatest thing. So I'm not, if 10 years ago, I wouldn't even dream that I'd be doing this. But I've let the guard down a bit, Rocky. And look, for the viewers, it's great. For me, it's a bit, but I did a series two. I've actually, when I look back, I go, did I say that or did I do that? I think I let the guard down, which is probably good for others. And look, mine's a real cameo role. Robbie D'Orazio from our office and Cole Young from Perth. Well, Cole Young steals the show. He's hilarious. And it's really good, actually.
Now,
really
Paul, good. Paul, just to give the viewers some insight, what was the biggest deal or what can they look forward to, the biggest deal that you had last year in that trade period?
I think for a company, I think the Brody Grundy one is just fantastic. It's that is what you want to hear. Like Brody Grundy didn't want to leave Collingwood, and people, you know, he'll get booed probably when he leaves Collingwood, you know, when he plays against Collingwood this year. And it's like, hang on, this guy did not want to leave. And he really articulates it well, that, you know, he signs a deal in good faith, and then he's told by the club and the coach that he, you know, they didn't want him. And so he has to get his head around that. And I think he articulates that pretty well, I reckon.
Yeah, Paul, on that, on the back of that, actually, I'm really interested to hear from you. You know, how do you help players navigate some of those circumstances? You know, and sometimes, you know, players are involved in speculation and uncertainty around a potential trade, you know, or even going into free agency for the entirety of a whole season. How do you go about helping navigate that for a player?
Well, Brody was an interesting one because it was talked about between Collingwood's Graham Wright and Robbie D'Orazio and us, and myself for a long time, but it was just the right time to tell Brody, and we didn't think it had happened, but then Brody got injured, and then he got injured again, and it was probably, there was just a moment late in the season where we said, hey, this is a potential to happen. Get your head around the possibility. And Brody's a deep thinker and just a wonderful person, and it took him a while to get his head around that this was even going to happen.
Hey, Paul, how tough is it, the conversation that you've got to have to the players that want to leave their club and then go somewhere else and it doesn't happen, the trade falls through? How tough is that conversation to have?
Well, at the start, you've got to set the parameters if they want to go. And look, I think on the whole, AFL players are amazing. I think they're loyal. I think they, you know, this is not like the States where we see them moving every second minute. So players normally try and leave for opportunities, but we're really up front saying for a trade to happen, it needs both club and player to agree.
Yep.
And be realistic. So when you're talking to the player, just make sure they understand that what percentage chances are these likely or unlikely, and then try and not make it public if you don't think it's a realistic chance, or tell the player.
Yep.
They're being, you know, the club that's... The current club may rate the player higher and he's got unrealistic reasons to want to leave. So it's a balancing act. I felt like the clubs took more control this year as well. So for the first time, you know, you might just think it's just the players demanding to leave. But we just saw with Brody Grundy,
the club took the initiative. Jack Bowes, who's from Gold Coast, and there was a new part to that. There was a money element to that trade. So, yeah, club, we felt like the clubs took a lot of control back this year and a bit of power and went, you know, we're gonna dictate some terms as well.
That's very American as well, where the clubs control that. It feels like we're starting to shift into that space where the players have had all the power in the past. But for a player manager this time of year, Paul, the big focus is always on the trade period. That's where you get all the publicity. But what are your day-to-day jobs this time of year?
Yeah, well, the new draftees are settling in and practice matches are just starting. So I feel like with us, it's a fair few, sadly, a few injuries at the moment with a lot of our boys. And others have started new clubs, and are they getting opportunities, or are they, you know, there's a little bit of work where players are now, you know, either playing in the seniors or they're starting off in the resis, they might be upset. We could be looking at financial plans for some with our accountants. So there's just, it's never a single day is the same, that's for sure.
And Paul, before we let you go, who put the most mayo on when the cameras are on, please?
Be hard not to say Robbie D'Orazio or Colin Young, but I reckon Robbie's got him covered, I reckon.
No, we like that, mate. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday morning. We look forward to watching Show Me The Money number 2.
Get your Stan subscription now, team.
Yeah, okay. I love that. Very cool. And speaking now of that, the Stan original documentary, Show Me The Money 2, is now streaming only on Stan. Overnight scoreboard coming up next. Both our South Australian teams played last night over in the West, so Rocky's going to give us the rundown. Dead Set Legends, Triple M. 104.7, Adelaide's Triple M, the Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tom are here until midday today. We're going to catch up with Spencer Johnson. We'll do that after 10 o'clock now. We're going to get rusty in.
Oh, yeah.
Motorsport update. We'll do that very, very shortly. But we're opening up the phones on 133353. What did you miss because of the kids? Rocky, you've had a Dead Set nightmare.
Yeah, it's been a big fortnight in our household, unfortunately. My mum was 60 last Friday, so we're all venturing up there to have the weekend with her, but unfortunately Jack got tonsillitis, picked something up at school and throat and had some belly pain, so they couldn't come. So that was called off, so we ended up staying home. I ventured up for the night and then back, but
you were supposed to have
you're all right, didn't you? Definitely made up for everyone.
We were supposed to have the weekend up there, and then unfortunately this week, Jack slowly got over it, but he's woken up a bit no good this morning, bit of a cough and whatnot this morning, but also Huey, our youngest, he's cutting about 7 teeth at once, which is never nice. So jeez, he doesn't want to put anything in, and he's just restless the last couple of days. And it's Shana's mum's 50th. How am I going? Mother-in-law that's 50 years old. I'm 33.
Yeah.
quite young, but so we won't be there tonight either.
And seems pretty happy about it, our man Pip.
Cradle snatching.
That's just, that's unsavoury.
Wow. Gee whiz.
And what about you? What happened in the Ferguson household this week?
Well, we copped a fair whack. I'll give you the hot tip. And we've all been a bit croaky all week. The kids got it first, probably, I'd say early in the week, maybe at the end of last weekend, and they recovered relatively well, albeit there's still a bit of a cough flying around that normally hangs around, doesn't it, when you get a cold? Around for a few weeks. But, Rhiannon and I have really battled the last few days. We're both man down, Blackhawk down, a bit like Tommy Basso, our producer, although his was self-inflicted last night at the Garden of Unearthly Delights. But COVID... you know, it's not COVID, thankfully, but certainly the childcare bug just seems to be relentless. It gets you know, a couple of times a month without fail, Rock, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly gets you. But the good thing is this time, Fergus, because we've had you on before interviewing Rusty when your voice was absolutely shot, and we might pull that up in the next break.
Yeah, we might need to, I think.
Yeah, but, I think we'll have to find that. Yeah, that's we'll fine. Have to find that somewhere. But
I'll tell you what I was flat about.
Yeah, go on.
I missed Ruin Ditz's celebration at the Bridgeway on Thursday night.
Yeah. Because you were crook, is that
right? Yeah, I'd locked it in. I was excited. Tommy Basso, obviously leading the charge there again. That's 2 in 3 nights, which is a wonderful performance. But I sent him a text saying, looking forward to a beer. He said, looking forward to 6 with you. And I was up and about. And then obviously with about half the day to go leading in, I just hit a brick wall and had to miss. So yep, we're really keen today, aren't we, to find out what have you missed because the kids got crook, because the kids got injured. Tell us all your great stories.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. 133353. And obviously, Ferg couldn't go Thursday night because he sounded like this.
And one of the all-time motorcycle racing greats, Valentino Rossi. has been recognised with something a little bit different, again. Rusty. And on that, Jay-Z, how's the Jordan De Goey situation looking at the moment, mate? And F1 is in Hungary this week, mate. Ferraris were fast on Friday in practice, and Dan Ricciardo looks in better shape.
Could be my sharpest work behind the PC, I reckon, right? 133353. What did you miss because of the kids? We'll get to your calls very, very shortly. Was it, you know, an engagement party or something like that? Was it something really, really superior? 133353. What did you miss because of the kids? We have double passes galore. 65. Stop the movie.
It.
This is incredible. John Wick chapter 4.
Stop it.
This is very, very good. 133353. What'd you miss because of the kids?
This motorsport update with Rusty is brought to you by Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Ah, time to get the man in the know. All things supercars, don't worry about that. Morning to you, Rusty, and you're in Tasmania, mate, for the broadcast of round one of the Speed Series.
Legends, good morning. Yeah, I am. It's nice to be at a racetrack again. Going to be a good weekend here too, actually. So the start of the defence of the TCR title, and we've got a number of really good races, some supercars drivers as well in the Trans Am series too. Going to be good.
Now, the Formula One pre-season testing underway in the Middle East. Is McLaren going to give our boy Oscar Piastri a fighting chance this year?
We hope so. Story today with my colleagues at Speed Cafe, where they are a little nervous about the tone of the boss, Zach Brown, and some of the engineering executive about the competitiveness of the car. It's very early days. He and his teammate Lando Norris are chalking up decent laps, volume of laps, shall we say. The lap times we've seen from them aren't as encouraging as others. So Max Verstappen was fastest on day one. And the Alfa Romeo driver, Zhou Guanyu, was quickest on day two. One of the Mercs in the hands of George Russell had an issue as well. So there's a couple little stories there. But guys, I need to put a caveat on this discussion. It's very, very hard in pre-season testing to know what everyone is up to. And there are some cat and mouse games. It's not as straightforward as looking at practice and qualifying at a Grand Prix.
And also, Rusty, we've got the new season of Drive to Survive dropping overnight, and the Dan Ricciardo saga features quite prominently, I'm led to believe.
And that's quite understandable, isn't it? It was such a big story. And off the back of that as well, you know, the Alpine team wanting to hang on to Oscar Piastri, but ultimately losing that in the kind of legal stoush that followed. So, you know, I think we probably need to wait and let everyone watch it rather than spoiling it. But, you know, understandably, he's still a big star of Formula One. I hope we see him at Albert Park as a part of the activities in and around the event, even if he's not racing in the GP.
And, Rusty, the supercars have tested their new Gen 3 cars this week in Sydney. Dave Reynolds does not sound happy at all.
Mm.
Sorry, you go.
No, you're right. He was on radio about it. I probably don't know that some of the comments that have been spun off that from that radio chat are as inflammatory as they seem. Dave was kind of matter-of-fact about it. He's naturally worried. He feels like there's an advantage to one side of the equation versus the Mustangs that they're running. So, but the category is doing some more testing around parity for the sport. Hopefully they can get to a scenario where it's ironed out fairly quickly. He sounded a bit concerned to a degree in that radio interview, but there were a few things done at the test at Sydney Motorsport Park in recent days to give a little bit back toward the Mustangs. But this happens, guys, every time we have the debut of a brand new car, if you will. There's always this sort of haggle between the teams. That's part of history, and it's actually kind of part of the story in some respects. So it's a question of how we deal with it now.
Rusty, on heat once again, mate. Thank you very much for your time.
Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thanks, Rusty.
That's Rusty for Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Ah, cheap trick for a Saturday morning. How good?
Sorry about it.
The Dead Set Legends, Cal Ferguson, Tom Rockcliffe and Tomo here until midday today. And we're opening up the phones, aren't we, Fergie? What's the question we're doing?
We are, and it's worst job to do in the heat.
Yeah. We were going to do that.
Another Dead Set Legends special investigation.
Yes, well, we know that last year Tomo tried to organise a big event for me and Bernie to go and host, but it fell over and everyone sort of piled into us a little bit. And we spoke about just before about kids, what your kids have cost you attending. But Last year during the summer of cricket, there was a bus tour organised from the one and only Fergus.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Ferguson, everyone from Triple M Adelaide got invited, and we're doing wine tasting. We'll show you Adelaide, the best of Adelaide. We'll do it before the test. And then we figured out that the West Indies weren't going that well. We might just do it on day four of the test instead. We'll get all the commentators. We've got a few days spare. So it sounded fantastic. I think everyone, Triple M. But Fergus sold it to the winery that they were going to, that Brayshaw will be there, yep. Lord Ian Botham, Howie, Brian Lara, Merv Hughes, Brad Haddon, Mitch Johnson, Mark Waugh, Chris Dittmer, Dan Ganane, all Triple M Adelaide. And you were going to be there as well, Ferg.
I was, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, you didn't make the bus. So they've gone up to this winery, wine tasting. They've got a private room for 40. They've got Lord Ian Botham there. So
that's it.
They need space. You've got Australian captains, champions of the game, Brian Lara.
Mm-hmm.
Four people ended up on this bus.
And Fergie, you weren't one of them.
No, I wasn't. Now, I actually, if you've got the montage there, it might be a good time to play it again because I lost my voice entirely the day before.
And one of the all-time motorcycle racing greats, Valentino Rossi.
So that's what you're running with. That's why you didn't make it. You lost your voice.
Well, there was another test coming up. So if I dish that off to everyone else, we wouldn't have had a commentary team.
So the four that have ended up on that bus are Greg Blewett,
mm-hmm.
Tubby Taylor, Andrew,
two big names right there.
One of the tech guys,
mm-hmm.
Who Bluey still doesn't know his name.
Actually, and we'll go into that in a minute.
And the boss of Triple M Footy, Triple M Cricket, Triple M Rugby.
Oh,
he does
yeah.
everything, all footy codes, sporting codes. Ewan Giles, and he's actually joined us this morning. Ewan, are you there?
Hey, Rocky, how are you, mate? G'day, yeah. Tomo. Hello, Ferg.
Hello, boss.
Now, talk us through this disaster of a bus tour.
Come on, Ewan.
The thing that actually worries me about it, Rocky, is that normally these stories have a lot of mail on them. You sort of really amp up all the funny bits to make it sound better on air. You've actually just said exactly what happened. Nothing you said is incorrect.
Now, Ewan, everyone got a message, right? This is like the whole team of Triple M Adelaide here. Even Ben and Liam from Nova got a gig.
I tell you what, we had our Triple M Cricket WhatsApp group going over the summer. And there are some real alphas on that group, you know, and you really want to make sure you're the big dog in town. And Ferg said, you know what, I'm the man. I'm going to organise this winery to them. Boys, I've got it all covered. My brother-in-law's involved in Chalk Hill somewhere and all this kind of stuff. And Never Never Ginger Drill, that's a great spot.
Wonderful operation out there.
They'll roll out the red carpet for us. And we were, as the time got closer, more and more people were like, oh, geez, I don't know, Ferg, I might take the early flight back to Sydney for a couple of days, go see the family before the test up in Brisbane. Anyway, the minivan got downstairs at the hotel and the doors flung open and I was waiting downstairs. Tubby Taylor, super excited, you know, he's on special leave from Channel 9 to work for us. He was really excited to get there and the doors flung open of the bus. And no one was on it.
So, Ewan, what really concerns me is that the minibus wasn't needed. You could have just taken a Corolla up there.
I tell you what, any kind of small vehicle to help all the three people.
So he's disappointed on this bus tour completely. Mm-hmm. But any other gold that he was up to through the Triple M commentary over the summer?
What I didn't realise is that if Ferg wasn't a first-class cricketer and, you know, Australian representative, would have represented the green and gold in competitive eating. Boy, he can eat. and for the first test we had in Perth, Mitch Johnson was part of the call team, and there was basically just 5 days worth of fat shaming going on. Us each other eating the most donuts, muffins, cakes, whatever you wanted. Is it true, Ferg?
You are 100% as Rocky's. You don't have to put any mail on that whatsoever. Just tell it how it was.
So, I was a bit sort of disappointed with Ferg in that regard. But I'm working on something for him, though, to sort of make good to the greater Triple M family. Obviously, Gather Round's coming up in a few weeks over there in Adelaide.
Yep.
And we've got the 6 games at Adelaide Oval. We've got the 2 games at Nord. But I've got a special assignment for Ferg.
Okay.
This will be good.
Have you ever been to Mount Barker before, Ferg? Biggles is unavailable to do boundary, and you are the man.
Everyone's favourite, Biggles.
Oh, you and your
head's a bit blustery up there as well, mate. So make sure you bring a puppy jacket.
Is BT going? That's what I want to know.
Oh, Ewan, thanks so much for joining us, mate. That was superb.
No worries, gents. Have a good one.
Oh, that's good.
So, name dropped. He's told the winery all the big dogs are coming and no one's fronted up.
No, well,
there's actually
right.
a few that got crook as well that went down. I took Gus Wallen down with me as well. Don't worry about that. He couldn't make it either. He was filthy with me.
Now, Rock, next we go out to the winery because yes. I know an employee out there that tried to set all of this up and we are going out there to get the actual truth on 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. 22 minutes past 10 o'clock for your Saturday morning, Adelaide, the Dead Set Legends on Adelaide's at Triple M. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo. And, well, Rocky, we're smack bang in the middle of a Dead Set Legends special investigation.
Yeah, we certainly are. It's off the back of Fergus trying to organise a winery tour of Adelaide to showcase to everyone from around Australia, all the champions on the Triple M cricket team. We had Jay Beast, Lord Ian Botham, Howie, Brian Lara. Ferg was name-dropping left, right and centre. They're going to be on this bus. It's going to be a huge coach, 50-seater. Everyone in Triple M Adelaide, come along. All the talent on air, off air, text. Anyone that wants to come, That's come it. Along. Mm. And got to the morning of, and as you just stated, Tomo, it could have been a Corolla
yep.
that could have gone because Ferg pulled out himself. Yep. So we
didn't make my own tour.
We ended up with Greg Blewett, Ewan Giles, who we just had on, Tubby Taylor, and a tech called Andrew, who Greg Blewett still doesn't know his name. But we
that's a story in itself.
We just wanted to know what had been promised to the Chalk Winery, because going up there was going to be food all covered, wine tasting, anything you wanted. Roll out the red carpet. We need a private room. I'm bringing Lords up here. We're bringing everyone to this venue. So we've actually got Phil from the winery out there at Chalk Winery. Phil, are you there?
Filthy.
Yeah, g'day gang. How you going?
Yeah. Now, Phil, you had to, you got called into work this day to cover for the people that were going to be there, the celebrities that were going to be there. What happened when they turned up?
Yeah, I actually had a roster day off. I was meant to have, it was my wife and I, it was our anniversary, but I was... I was pretty excited to head into work that day with a few of the names that were going to be there or were meant to be there, yeah.
Oh, no.
So they've rolled in and did you expect another bus to pull up or what was the explanation you got when they've rolled off and you had the private venue or room set up for them?
Well, I thought it might have been one of Ferg's staff there to give us a few of the dietary requirements, but, you know, it was just the crew.
Oh God! And what, you were pretty shattered then, were you, Filthy? That, you know, you're taking the day off, and and no one come at all.
Yeah, my father-in-law Gavin, he's actually a Pom, so I said I'd get a video shout out from Beefy Botham, but
oh no,
obviously that didn't happen.
And I'm hearing that the Chalk Winery as well. You're supposed to get overtime. You've come in on your anniversary, and then they didn't pay you for coming in.
No, we were meant to get a few sort of free drinks on the night. My wife dropped me in. We finished up late packing up. So I had to get an Uber home. So, yeah. No,
how much was the Uber and where to?
It was about $60, I think.
So this day's actually cost you money and you had to stay later, obviously, because you had to pack up the table and the separate room that didn't even get used in the end.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, God. What do you got to say, Fergus?
Oh, gee, mate. Just really disappointed.
No, you go, mate.
What do you got to say, Fergus?
Oh, I'm just really sorry, mate, on your anniversary. I mean, I feel as low as a duck's backside at the moment. All I can say is sorry, mate.
And this bike sounds very familiar.
Oh, I've heard this voice before, there's no doubt. I'm trying to pitch. I've only been out to the winery a couple of times.
This isn't the Williston Waterboy, is it? all right, beautiful. Well done, Rocky. You happy with yourself?
Well done, Phil. Thanks for coming on. I hope the wife forgives you and you get a bottle of wine, or Fergus slips out to Chalk Winery and looks after you next time he's out there.
The Uber's cost him 60 clams.
Jeez.
104.7, Adelaide's Triple M, 23 minutes away from 11 o'clock, I should say. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tom on. How good it was to have Paul Connors on in the first hour. You can get that chat on the listener app as well, LISTNR. He's a player manager and strutting his stuff on the new documentary. Yeah, this is all thanks to Stan as well. Show Me the Money too, and it shows sort of the ins and outs of what happens in the famous trade period every single year. Rocky? Rock, you turn your mic on, mate.
Come on, Rock.
It certainly does. And sorry about that. You turned me down before when I had some good gags off air. So
wait, it's just a little peek behind the curtain. Rock's in Queensland. He's been a changed man since his move there, because all he thinks about is the finer things in life. And I think cha-ching. It's fair to say. Yeah. Rocky, yes, that's what we were saying.
Yes, the trade period. So it's a good insight for people that don't know what happens behind the scenes, I suppose, and the process of that. And he gave us some good insight into the Brodie Grundy deal and how that took place, and Brodie didn't want to leave, and it was broken on this show, believe it or not, that he was on the move last year. But
how long ago was that, Rock? That
not quite 9 months, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It was early on in the year, around 5 or 6. But just some insight there. So that was a good chat. So well worth downloading the listener app and having a listen to that chat.
For sure. And I think sometimes when you're just an everyday sports fan, you think this happens in football all the time. But as we know, it happens in cricket as well, especially with the new BBL and the new franchises coming in, Ferg.
Yeah, there's a lot more player movement these days around franchise cricket around the world. And certainly it isn't all, you know, beer and Skittles, is it? Sport, we know that. You know, it's a great lifestyle, but and you get to do what you're passionate about, but there's some moments that are challenging, and certainly we see that with Brodie Grundy, and I can't wait to sit down and watch the whole series, Show Me the Money too. But, you know, I personally had quite a tough moment at the end of my career when I was at the Sydney Thunder, you know, being told...
Disgraceful. It was disgraceful.
No, thanks, Rock. I appreciate the support. But look, it is tough when you do finally get told, look, you're not necessary, or you're surplus to needs for the next season, and you won't have your contract renewed. It's really tough to hear, and it's not what you probably within yourself believe is the right call, but you have to take it on the chin. And certainly I remember being told when I first moved across from the Melbourne Renegades, you know, we can't wait to have you up. You know, we're really keen to have you come to the Thunder and not just be, you know, a player just finishing their career. We want to see you become a Sydney Thunder player and person for the rest of your life. And that's no doubt what Brodie Grundy thought was going to happen. And I thought that was the case for me. And I thought I was going to keep playing as long as I was playing well until the day I decided that I was going to finish up. But that wasn't the case for me. I was cut off a bit earlier than I thought I should have been, or what I believe was right. But it's not always fairy tale stories. And I had a decision to make then that the club was clearly happy to see me go and play for someone else. And in the end, I decided to take a great opportunity with Triple M Cricket and Channel 7 to commentate on the game. But you know, I was certainly really disappointed. It was a really tough period for me going through that and to make that decision to step away from the game. But, you know, you'd love it to all end up the way you want it, but it's not always the case.
So when they say come up here and be a Sydney Thunder person for life, you know, is that, and I'm not putting words in your mouth or Sydney Thunder's mouth, but it sort of seems like a little bit of a, you know, a bit of a carrot to get up here, and you finally get up here, oh, we've got him, we've used him for all his services, and now, you know, and just brush you a bit.
Yeah, it was probably more the way it happened that disappointed me. You know, I was told that they didn't want to look at my contract until the end of the season, which, look, I understand that, but I just was really keen for some sort of indication so that I could make a decision one way or the other, whether to start looking at another club a bit earlier before the end of the season, or, you know, to just get my plans in order and start looking at what I wanted to do, whether I wanted to keep playing or not. But, you know, to get the final decision, you know, basically a week and a half after, or 2 weeks after the season had actually finished, and a day before the deadline to start negotiating a contract, there was an embargo period starting the day after I was told that I wasn't going to get a contract for the next year. So I wasn't able to negotiate a contract with another team for like another 3-4 months after that. So I had nowhere to go. So it's not always how you want it to pan out. Things don't always go the way that you think they should. And you have to wear a few knocks in a professional athlete's career. There's no doubt about it. And no doubt Rocky would have seen a fair bit of that in his time as well.
The thing with that as well, Ferg, you were playing genuinely pretty good cricket at the time. The Thunder weren't going that well. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you were the captain of the team at the time as well. And then
tap
on the shoulder and just no contract. And they've hung you out to dry, effectively, giving you no time to get a new contract.
Yeah, it was a really tough situation to face. I'd had a really good 3 years, 4 years maybe in those final years. And the team had actually played quite well while I was captain. Win rate was really, really good. The percentage was really, really good. Played finals both years. So that was where it probably blindsided me a bit. I thought I played really well and well enough to earn another contract. I thought they were umming and ahhing, but I might have, with the way I'd played and the team was playing, convinced them to go again, but it wasn't the case. I've said this before with regards to being dropped after a test. I feel like I've had the rub of the green at times. I got a gig in the one-day Australian team
early
ahead of Brad Hodge.
Yeah.
Probably on the back of my age at that stage. And then you cop a few whacks in other areas. So I'm happy with my lot, but certainly it's not all beer and Skittles. And it's certainly, there's some challenges that come your way in a professional athlete's career.
Before we wrap this up, how's the relationship now with the Sydney Thunder, Fergus?
Oh, particularly strong with the players.
Yep.
I was very fortunate. I had a great group of individuals. We had a great culture up there, and I've got no doubt it's still a great culture up there with the players that I know are in that dressing room. But it certainly, it was strained with the admin for a period of time. And as you can understand, things have changed a lot in the last few years. Michael Klinger's now up there with Cricket New South Wales. He's a good mate of mine. So the doors do swing, and new people get into positions, but it was pretty strained there for a while, to the point where I'd lost a bit of the zest for the club, which has probably come back a little bit.
Yep.
I've got a soft spot for all the teams that I played for.
For sure. No, I like that, mate. Fantastic insight. That wouldn't have been easy to talk about. So well done. 10:45, Dead Set Legends. 11 minutes away from 11 o'clock for your Saturday morning, Adelaide 104.7 Triple M. It's the Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo. And looking forward to this conversation, boys. He's a premiership player at the Collingwood Footy Club, dominating as well on the rush hour throughout the week with Billy Brownless over the past couple of weeks, and self-proclaimed retired superstar on Instagram, Daisy Thomas. Hello, mate.
Yeah, g'day, gents. Thanks for having me. I did leave off the fact I'm the only player in history to play 100 games of both Collingwood and Carlton, but we can get past that pretty quickly.
I was going to drop that, but I was running out of breath, to be honest. So.
That's all right. I'll let it slide.
Now, Daze, we got you on to talk about what the hell happened last week, because I saw it on Instagram, your story there. You're on the way to the track, and, you lost a chomper.
I did, yeah. So every Saturday I've got my commitments with PointsBet on Channel 7. I've literally just pulled up at Sandown today, of course, big racing over here. But last week, I'm on my way, about 40 minutes from my joint out to Flemington, and driving along, I felt something on my tongue. I put my finger in the mouth, as you do, and sort of looked in the rearview mirror, and it was the cap off my front tooth. So this tooth got kicked in by a West Coast player many years ago on field, not at a nightclub or anything. Not like
sure about that?
It was genuine panic stations.
Now, Daze, from what I saw on the box, it came up an absolute treat.
Oh, yeah.
What got the job done for you, mate?
Well, it was fast thinking. So I swung past the first Woolies I saw, ran down to the hardware aisle, got some super glue, but I had to read which one was least poisonous. So one of them said, don't put in your eyes, and the other one didn't have any warning about that. So I thought, well, if it's good for my eyes, it must be good for my mouth. And then I got to the track. I turned the air up on the vents coming out, because you know when you're at the dentist, they put that little air gun on there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So I folded the top lip up. I looked like a full mong doing it, but I documented it. And then got the super glue, dried the tooth, put it on. Oh, genius Thomas, didn't realise that he'd missed a bit. Pressed down on the front tooth, pulled it off looking for the result, and the freaking cap was stuck to me finger. So I'll have to then get my racing accreditation, very hygienic sort of operation.
That's it.
And then use that to plug it on. And thankfully it lasted till Saturday afternoon, until I had a few beers Saturday night. So I munged into something and it came off and went forever.
The good thing, lucky for you, lucky for you, Daisy, it's not your looks that you're known for, because you're not a very good-looking man. We,
Jesus,
we see you on the points. We see you on the points bet.
Seriously. Did you just hear that, Dave?
From Rob. What's Rob bringing to the table?
I think if jump on Google at some point, Cocko, and you'll see that I did walk in the Virgin Australia fashion runway show once. So just down the farm there a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
You play for the two biggest clubs over there in Melbourne, so they open a few doors for you. But did you tip any winners for the locals out there? Or can you tip us anything today at Sandown, more importantly?
Yeah, we found a few of the market movers last week got up. There was a couple of shorties that got rolled, so the points for punters is not overly happy with that. Look, I think I'm Thunderstruck today. Looks really good. You can have about $3 about it at points bet. What else do we like? Billy Brownless has got Steel City, which is the favourite for the Blue Diamond, and he's tipping that to anyone who'll listen. And we had Kim Carr on the rush hour yesterday, and I think he's got one in the last I Am Me. It's about $6, and he couldn't have been any more bullish on that. Jamie Carter pilot that one, so... Hopefully between those three, we can find a couple of winners for the punters today.
Hey, Daze, this is a question without notice. Are you right to hang around, mate? Because we're going to play a song, but we need to figure out what the hell happened with Bernie Vince that day where he ironed you out.
Yes.
Yeah. No dramas. I'll be on the walk because I've got to be in there by 11:30 and I've just pulled up, but I can wander and walk and talk. I'm a talented boy, unlike your mate Rocky.
Until happening next on 104.7 Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. It's the Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cow Ferguson and Tomo. And we're joined by Daisy Thomas at the moment. He's been good enough to hang around. Daisy, you got us?
Yeah, got you there, fellas.
Now, Daisy, we need to talk about what's going on with Bernard Vince, because yes. he wandered over into the Triple M Melbourne studios, and I hear he had a bit of a chat with you. Is that correct?
Yeah, we had him on. It was a good yarn. So, Bern and I worked a fair bit together through COVID on the specials, and I'm pretty sure Triple M banned us. pretty quick. I remember one night, young Zach Butters tried to be ironed out by, who's the old captain of North? Number seven.
Zeeble.
Yep.
Zeeble, that's your boy, in the back line. And Butters got up and laughed at him, and Bernie and I thought it was the funniest thing you've ever seen. And from that point on, we couldn't speak for about 5 minutes because we're like school kids. Every time we spoke, we giggled. So, no idea, but he did. He wandered in and we reminisced about a time he absolutely shit-nixed me on the MCG.
What happened there?
Well, my recollection was he's a dirty pig, which I think is correct.
Yep.
It was early in the game. The ball bounced in front of the members' wing. And I remember I just had a new girlfriend at the time. And my current fiancée, so things are still going well. And I remember her ex and a few of his mates were wandering into the MCC, and I knew that going into the game because I was sort of half mates with a few of them anyway. Bernie Vince lays me out 5 minutes in, about 1 metre from the boundary, right in front of the MCC.
Like, no.
The ball bouncing up, I got my eyes on it. The vision's on Triple M rush hour. He doesn't even look at the ball once. He leaves the ground, gets me right up the middle, smashes me like a flattened pancake. See you later. And all I thought was, get up, you weak dog. There'll be someone watching. So I bounced. I bounced and went after him. Imagine me and Bernie going at it.
A lot of open palm activity, I reckon.
Yeah, correct. We may as well sit down and start crying together. So we reminisced on that. And I remember the next week I was at training and I had the concussion, sort of a few of the symptoms, but I looked after Bernie, and then we watched the vision. He ran past the ball, as I said. He left the ground, and he got me high. It would have been 4 weeks.
Easily. Oh, mate. That's generous.
And the rest.
Oh, God.
Dirty dog.
Daisy and Bernie couldn't get out of a wet paper bag together.
Daisy,
you've joined the Sunday Rub team. Congratulations there. That'll be exciting, Triple M.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to that. Obviously, having a game with a preview coming into it's always nice rather than just sort of rolling in on air. So no doubt we'll be solving a few of the weekend's problems every Sunday on on that show, which would be good fun. Myself, Jay-Z Clark, Lee Montagna, Nath Brown, and there is another big announcement to come.
Well, okay, hang on.
Bonafide superstar of the game. So,
watch this space.
Any hints there, Daze?
Well, I think Jay-Z Clark said, can't let the cat out of the bag.
Oh, so, okay. Righto.
Yeah. What you will. It's not Billy Brownless. he does not fit any of the criteria I just said.
Actually, mentioning Billy, how are you handling him on the weeknights at the moment? Mate. Jeez, that'd be a fair bit to handle, mate. He's a big boy.
No, it's going pretty well. Obviously, I do all the work and he chimes in every now and then. it's actually been brilliant. I love working with Bill. I work with him at points, but as well. But my favourite part is that He's got a joint just near the Botanical up there in Domain Road.
Oh, hang on.
So we've generally just, I've only been there 3 weeks, but we've included a post-show debrief every night.
Okay. So nice. Team things.
So my missus absolutely hates the fact that I'm at work these days because all I do is come home drinking pots. but no, he's a good man, Bill. The rush hour's flying over him. Him and Jay over here. Him and JB absolutely dominate. So it's a pretty easy chair to sit in for a couple of weeks.
Nah, we love your stuff, Dave. Thanks so much for jumping on board the Dead Set Legends, mate. Enjoy today.
Appreciate that. And Rock, if you call me ugly one more time, I'll personally drive over there and flog you.
Smack on 11, Dead Set Legends. Thanks, mate. 14 minutes past 11 o'clock. Bit of poison for your Saturday morning. How good. The Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tom. I'm going to open up the phones very, very shortly about Dave Warner, about his career. Has he played his last test? Where's he at? We want the Triple M family's involvement on 133.53. I was listening to the Rush Hour last night, and I heard Greg Blewett talking a fair bit about Davey Warner and where he's at, and here's what he had to say.
I've just had a bit of a look. He has not scored an away century in nearly 6 years.
What?
So he is, you know, his performances in Australia are pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, he's going to go down as one of our modern day great players.
Yep. 2017.
2017, since he's scored an away test 100. And he's averaged 16.85 with the bat outside of Australia since his 12-month suspension.
Jeepers. 60. Yeah.
I don't know. Have we seen the last of David Warner?
Do you think we have? Do you think we have?
On those stats there alone, I don't know how they can pick him in. He averaged 9 the last Ashes series in England. Yeah.
Some damning stats there. So the last away 100 outside of Australia, 2017, and averaged 9 in the last Ashes, Fergus.
Yeah, look, I think you've got to be concerned for his career now. Yeah. The fact that he's gotten injured at this time is less than ideal for him. He's missed out in the first few tests. The Aussie summer wasn't the most prolific for him either. He made a double 100 in the Boxing Day yep. test, which was an absolute beauty.
Great job.
It looked like he was back to his best. Dogged and then started to flay it around and looked like he was in great rhythm. Tough start in the India series for him. Those stats from Bluey, I mean, they really are. They smack you in the face, don't they?
No,
I mean, 6 years since his last away century, 16.85 outside Australia since his suspension, and 9 in the last Ashes too. I mean, if you look at those numbers and how Travis Head was treated at the start of this series, and he hadn't even played in India.
That's right.
There's no way on the back of that that you would you would see this selection panel in particular pick Davey in this Ashes series. I mean, you just couldn't see it.
Is he done, Rock?
Yeah, I think he's done. You talk about the 200 he made, but I think it was 2 years before that, before his last 100, or there was a long spell before he'd made 100 in Australia before that. So he hasn't had a great record of late. But the thing that, for me, that Dave was so good at, his ability to take the game away from the opposition so quickly at the top of the order, he doesn't have that anymore. I haven't seen that for a period of time. He doesn't come out... He's not the aggressor where the bowlers know if they bang it in short to him or they can just get a little bit of shift around his pads, he's in all sorts of trouble. We've seen, I think it was Wagner did it to him. New Zealand came in and just bounced him and then
Broad
shammy this series. And then Broad got him the other way where he cut it back into him, swing it around the wicket.
Yep. Blew his pad off, bowled him. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
So he's got, they've figured him out a little bit. So unless Dave can somehow recapture that ability to take the game away from the opposition at the top of the order, there's people there that can do it. We've spoken about Travis Head that can go to the top of the order. Does Renshaw get his opportunity to open the batting? We know he's been well below his best over in India. So there is options there, Bancroft, different ways to look at it. But for me, at the moment, the way it stands at the moment, I think Dave Warner's in all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, he is. And certainly, we just talked about, and there's been a lot of speculation around the fact that there's been no one knocking the door down around in Shield cricket. Look, the one person I would say that has been getting the attention of the selectors, I would suggest, with his numbers, in the 22-23 Shield season, Cameron Bancroft has bounced back beautifully this summer. He's had 14 innings, 767 runs, 64. High score of 176, 400s, 150.
Yep.
Now, they are outstanding numbers. He opens the batting at the Wacker. There are some juicy first innings wickets around the country. He's putting his hand up. Now, he'll be the one that I think the selectors would potentially look at for England. He's had one crack over there, didn't quite nail it, but still had some contributions. I would suggest he is one guy that they might look at. Travis Head, people will smirk and say, people around the system may say, oh, look, he's loose. He might get undone by the new ball over there. But it seems like every time Travis faces a challenge, he's in early against a swinging, nipping new ball at the Gabba this year, Bell Reeve the year before. He stands up and finds a way to score when others don't.
Yeah, he certainly does. And the other thing that probably is playing on the Aussie selectors' minds is if you move Warner on, Khawaja's probably only got one best summer, I reckon, left in Australia. He'll be 40, almost 40, I think he is. I think he's 39 or 40. So they're going to have to replace the two openers. So they're a little bit nervous, I think, around that.
Nah, he's not that old.
I reckon he's younger than me. 36, 37, I reckon, Rock.
You're right, though,
but
Rock.
The point's good.
Combined age of the openers is over 70. And it's been like that for a couple of years. So I understand that point. The one point I want to make is I hate it when our champions... I don't know if they don't know, or I hate to see them struggle right at the end. And I always put this back to Warne, McGrath, Langer. They finished on top and they all went out at the same. We saw Ricky Ponting struggle, the Steve Waugh one as well. So I'd hate to see the same thing happen to Warner.
Yeah, we don't want that for our champions. I feel like at times it feels like the media are searching for that to try and put a nail in their coffin. And we don't want to see that. We want to see our champions go out with a few decent punches up their sleeve. I feel like Davey does. He's still playing both white ball formats and doing it really, really well for Australia. So he's going to have a chance to do that. But certainly we've seen it with some of the greats in the past. You know, they go out meekly. You just want Davey to go out
100%.
In the right style. Whether he gets that opportunity is a real concern for me now.
133.53. David Warner, where's he at? What's he got? Has he got another punch to pull, or is he absolutely finished? We want to know from the family. 133.53. Hit us up and we'll take your calls next here at Triple M. 24 minutes past 11 o'clock. Smashing Pumpkins. How good?
Sorry about it.
Yeah.
They're coming.
Yeah, they are.
I can't wait.
And you're sniffing some freebies is my mail. They're coming to town. Don't worry about that. They're Dead Set Legends. 104.7 Triple M. Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo here until midday today. And opening up the phones right now. 133.53. David Warner. Where's he at with his Test career? Is he done and dusted? He's not going to play the rest of the series in India. He's back here in Australia, and we don't know if he's going to go to England or not. What the story is, he's averaged 9 in the last Ashes, which was damning. We just heard that before. So 133.53, hit the phones up right now of Triple M family. Is he done and dusted?
Yeah, we need to know what the family feels about on this one, because no hundreds in an away series since 2017, and averaging 16.8 since his suspension away from Australian soil. So he's been average away from home, which really it's disappointing to hear and say, because we know how great he's been, Rock.
Yeah, it certainly is, but not only average. Like, if you're opening the batting, he's been horrible, realistically, in the last 6 or 7 years away from Australia. And even his last couple of years here in Australia haven't been great, bar the 200 that he made on Boxing Day. So for mine, I think he's finished now at the top of the order. I think you're watching the TV at the moment, New Zealand and England over there. We seen Stuart Broad last week just rip through the Kiwis with that pink ball. And now Jimmy Anderson's doing the same. He's taken 3 for 9. They're waiting for him to go over there. And I think they would be licking their lips if he's opening the batting for Australia in the Ashes series.
I was just saying to you boys off air, it's completely different to footy, isn't it? Like, you open the batting and, you know, he was making hundreds for fun there and changed the game so much. It's not like he can drop down to a 5 or a 6 now, because we expect that all the time at the top of the order, where you get champions like Gary Ablett, 2-time Brownlow medalist, 40-2 for fun. And you can wedge him forward at the back of his career. You have no ability to do that in cricket.
No, that's right. It's a completely different sport. And we've, you know, got very specific roles in cricket where, you know, basically openers, you never see them drop outside of the opening position, basically. You might have seen a middle order player or two go down the order a little bit or up the order. You'd see that with the Waugh twins a fair bit. Ricky even rolled himself back down to 4 and 5 from 3 towards the latter stages. But openers don't move traditionally. So, look, and the impact of a player being out of form in your side is significantly different in cricket compared to footy. 11 players in one team, 22 in the other.
Yeah, correct.
A drop in form's twofold.
133.53. Dave Warner, is he finished, as we go to Sean from Davern Park? Morning, Shawnee.
Good morning, boys.
What's your thoughts?
I think he's cooked. He did nothing during the Australian summer besides the double ton in Boxing Day.
Yep.
And Sandpaper Gate shouldn't have been back in the team.
Okay. Strong stuff, Sean.
Going there. Okay. I like that. As we got Jake from Huntfield Heights. Morning, Jake.
Morning, boys.
What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's pretty much done as well. He's obviously hasn't scored any runs, but the main problem has been the lack of other openers coming through to replace him.
Mm.
Like you look at Hunt or Bryce Street or Marcus Harris, none of them have really set the world on fire, but I think maybe Bancroft should be given the opportunity in England.
Well, the one opener that was going to replace him or play for Australia, unfortunately, he's got his concussion issues, doesn't he?
Pekowski.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's interesting. I think we both got that name wrong, didn't we, Fergus?
You've both, and we'll try and get that audio for your family just to replay that for you for the next 6 months. But you're right, though. We have had Cam Bancroft in the past. We felt like he was going to be the one that would come in and dominate at the top of the order. He's had his struggles at times, found himself out of the system for various reasons post-Sandpaper Gate and form-wise. So, I thought Henry Hunt didn't quite nail it this summer so far. A couple of games to go. Bryce Street a bit the same. They've had a few up and down periods in this summer. Cam Bancroft is the one that has put his name back up. There's no doubt about it. Will Pekowski is how you say it, guys.
What is it?
Will Pekowski has been the one that we were hanging our hat on for a long time.
Correct.
And seriously, it's so sad to see him go the way he has with his head knocks. But Will Pekowski was the one, and he's not going to be the one for the foreseeable future. So I think Cam Bancroft's probably the one if they go to an opener.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Head wouldn't be the worst option in my eyes because he opens the batting in one-day cricket, has done for a long time. You still see green seamers in one-day cricket. He sees the new ball with regularity with the Redbacks batting at 3 and 4. So, look, I see him as a potential option if you wanted to take the game on and take a positive option, which is the Australian way. Wouldn't be the worst way to go.
I don't mind that, Fergus. And next, the overnight scoreboard. Rocky has an update on Travis Boak's injury. So you'd want to be hanging around. Triple M family. 19 away from midday. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Not that far away from catching up with the big quick Spencer Johnson.
Oh, yes.
I'm looking forward to that
as well. What a specimen.
He's a big, big man. 6'5" and runs in quick. And we love that. So we're going to catch up with him very, very shortly.
Now, Tomo.
Mm-hmm.
We had a bit of an issue last week with our interview with our man Rusty in the motorsports section.
I can't recall.
I can, quite clearly. And it was around the time he was talking about the devastation that's been happening over in New Zealand with the weather. It's been horrific.
Mm-hmm.
There's been flooding. Houses have been lost. Families relocated. It's been really, really tough, Rock. And there was just a real lack of empathy and compassion shown by our man. And I feel like we're just going to have to roll some audio here.
The devastation is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. We spoke to friends last night whose house has basically, it's still standing, but at one point the water was above the roof line and the chimney was like a periscope. I mean, it's just soul destroying for those people. So yeah, we're feeling very fortunate, but thinking of those people that have been hit hard by this.
It's been a race against time, but the new supercars have been hitting the track ahead of round one on the 10th of March in Newcastle. Is that right, Rust?
Moving on, people. I just wanted nothing to see here. Tomo reckons.
You're just a natural disaster over there, and I'm more worried about the fuel. What is going on?
You're worried about supercars. Where are you at?
What is going on, Rod?
Oh, don't act like you kill it all the time, you idiot.
I don't kill it all the time, but I have compassion to be shown.
Empathy.
Yeah, that is true. I'll give you that. But
Okay, anyway, moving on. I haven't heard him so chipper in about 6 months.
Oh, I'm glad to listen to you 5 minutes ago, Rock.
Well, the one opener that was going to replace him or play for Australia, unfortunately, he's got his concussion issues, doesn't he?
Pekowski.
Pekowski.
Yeah.
Pekowski. Pekowski.
Yours
wasn't much better.
Pekowski.
Oh, I got it right, idiot.
He got it right, Rob. Seriously, what was that, Goggin?
And what about you?
Don't turn it around on everyone because you have no compassion for the people in New Zealand.
No, what's that? Sorry, Rock, I didn't hear that.
I said, don't turn this around on me and Ferg because you have no compassion for the people in New Zealand.
No, I do. I just wasn't listening at the time.
He's trying to run it down to third man and get off strike. That's what he's trying to do here, Rock. Don't worry about that.
Supercars.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. This is the Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockcliffe, Cow Ferguson, and Tomo here until 12 o'clock today. And you can always get us on that text line as well, 84885-1047. Now, a big treat this one is, boys. Yes. Hadn't this man had an absolute beauty of a summer? He's dominated for the Brisbane Heat and then just comes back here and on debut for the Redbacks, takes six for. He's 6 foot five, hits the crease hard, good looking rooster, reminds me of myself. Spencer Johnson, hello, mate.
Hello, boys. Thanks for having me.
Mate, what a summer you've had. You must be absolutely over the moon. Dominated with the Heat and then doing it for the Redbacks as well.
Yes, it's nice to get out there, I guess. It's been a long time coming, but yeah, just happy to be out there.
Yeah, Spence, it's been a while since your debut for the Redbacks. Back in 2017, I think it was. I was actually captaining that game, Rocky and Tomo, and it was a really impressive debut. I'll tell you what it was. It was a cauldron. It was 360 versus 360. So for the bowlers, it wasn't exactly a great day out. But Spencer bowled the death overs on one leg with an ankle he hurt in about the third over. Is that right, Spence?
Yes, that's correct. I remember that one. You were skipper, Fergie. You got about 80 odd, and unfortunately, that was the game I hurt my ankle. And you're actually quite kind to me. You let me go on and off the oval, see the physio, and we got the win, which was good as well.
And do you remember who presented your cap and all of those little details of the day spent?
Yeah, Tim Nielsen, our performance manager, he presented the cap. That was quite a special moment.
Now, mate, going back a bit further than that, you obviously you were a young eagle out at West Torrens, down at Henley Beach at West Torrens District Cricket Club. You had a couple of decent mentors out there, former Redbacks players around you.
Yeah, obviously Mark Harrity's down there, and he's been there for a lot of my senior career. Trent Kelly, obviously, he's a bit of a friend of the show, isn't he, Kel?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, absolutely.
He likes to ring up.
He certainly thinks he's the one that leans on us. Don't worry.
Yeah, and then obviously you were down there as well, Fig. So yeah, there's three pretty key people in my career that have helped me along the way.
And Spence, you're 27 now. This is your first Shield game. Why has that taken so long? We've spoken a little bit about your injuries, but it just seems like you should have been playing for a number of years.
Yeah, I guess there's been the injury and getting my body ready for 4-day cricket. Has been a 5-year process, I guess. You don't just come out and roll out 20 overs in a day. Your body's got to build towards that, and that's where we are now. So wouldn't really change it for the world, to be honest.
And Spence, you would have loved the move up to Brisbane, mate. How much did you learn up there, and any mentors up there in Queensland that have helped you along the way?
Yeah, Brisbane Heat were awesome. I was pretty grateful for the opportunity that they gave me to get up there and get a fresh set of eyes on me. Andy Bicker was a bowling coach who I've sort of idolised growing up, and to be in the same sort of change room as him and also Marnus and Uzi, that was quite cool.
And you speak of Andy Bickle, he's heading over to the IPL as an assistant coach, I believe, and he did mention at one point that he may be taking you over as a net bowler. Is that still on the cards to travel over there to do that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening there. I think there's a few sort of behind-the-scenes things that need to play out there, but if we could get that over the line, I'd be on the first plane to India, definitely.
And Spencer, look, obviously, when it's come to your development, you did have some hurdles. There was obviously the injury to your leg. Can you run us through, some of those periods where it was really tough, and you may have just been wondering whether it was ever going to happen for you? Can you run us through who was great for you in those times, and just what that process looked like getting back to playing again after obviously not playing since 2017 at the highest level?
Yeah, I guess being 2021, I was a bit naive with the injury. I thought it was just going to happen and it was just going to heal, but that wasn't really the case. So, the support staff at SACA have been awesome. They've stuck by me. I've been on contract for 6 years and played my first Shield game last week. So the support they gave me and they offered me was, pretty special.
Now, Spence, a little bit of mail has come across our desk about Jack Hayes. Obviously, St Kilda, great debut very, very good in the sandful. Mm. But, well, Rocky, we actually got him drafted, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, absolutely. No worries. Now, Spence, you're very good mates with him and you've been doing some work together. Is that right?
Yeah, Hazy, I got him on the tools. He unfortunately for him, he obviously did his knee and spending a bit of time back in Adelaide. So I said, come over, mate, and you can build me a barbecue. So
Spencer Johnson, thanks so much for jumping on board, mate. We're loving watching your progress, and a big hats off to you, mate.
Thanks so much. Cheers.
Good on you, Spence.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. It's the Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo. Boys, we are just about out of here today. Another great show. And, you've been dominant once again up in Gold Coast there, Piggy.
Oh, what a cracking tune to see us out as well. Fantastic show again. But my highlight was just you. Supercars.
Moving on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What natural disaster?
Yeah, that just happened before when we had Rusty on. You replayed something from last week, which was... Anyway, I've got to take a good hard look at myself, I think.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rock's been on a heater. He's been white hot today, and there's been a little bit of audio that we've managed to get a hold of from earlier on.
Piskovsky.
Who's that?
Piskovsky.
Hang on, Rock. Opens the batting for who? And Australia. Yeah. What's his name? Will
Piskovsky.
And they were all over you on the text line, Rock.
0455-047.
Go again.
It's fantastic because it's this is your only chance to pile into me when I have no control over it. But I'm down there. I am coming for an OB very shortly. Yes. So you two buff heads, better watch yourselves.
And there's some big news to drop around that, Rock, too.
Yeah,
where
there
we'll
certainly
be.
Is. Yep. It's been a massive show, though. We got to the bottom of Ferg's bus tour
that's true.
Yeah. Talking about natural disasters.
Dead Set Legend special investigation.
Wow.
Invites 50, four rock up, and you didn't go yourself.
Absolute train wreck.
If you missed anything from the show, I tell you, you want to download it on that listener app, LISTNR. And haven't the numbers been astronomical?
We are airborne from what the numbers are telling us. Seriously. And that's not us saying it, that's the numbers.
See, well, I think we're saying it too. See you next week from 9.
See you guys.